Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back to A Comedian Called Carl Drinking Coffee, Season 2, the 2021 Chronicles. I thought I'd carry it on, you know. I think the last one, I thought it might be the end. And then I realised, you know, actually, you know what I realised? I did get some messages from people asking if it was carrying on and saying they really enjoyed the laid-back tone of it. But also, it's quite a nice document of a year, isn't it? Like, I would like to go back and listen to the ones at the start of the year in 2020 and see just how I underestimated the coronavirus pandemic. So I thought, you know, it's quite a fun thing to have a record of a year. So I thought, yep, let's do a bloody season two. I think I'll still keep it called A Comedian Called Carl Drinking Coffee, but I think actually going forward I'm gonna relax on the rules. I mean, I've got a coffee in front of me, but it's really hot actually. I've got to say, don't judge me, it's a ready-made almond latte. Nescafe do these vegan ones that I know Nescafe are a bad company, man, but Hannah got them for me in an avocado order and they are surprisingly tasty. But what I was saying was, going forward this year, it doesn't have to be coffee. I'm going to allow myself to just do A Comedian Called Carl Drinking Something, because coffee makes it sort of time dependent, doesn't it? I think that's why I've struggled at times to do them regularly, because if I only have a coffee, definitely have one a day in the morning. Sometimes I have a lunchtime afternoony one. So basically, but if I don't, there's no other chance of the day to do it. So I thought, if I open it up, I could easily do A Comedian Called Carl having a cup of tea in the evening, a lovely turmeric tea. So that's it. It's going to be much of the same. Me sitting somewhere, chatting, currently in my front room, hence I think you can hear the click of a radiator coming on, and I'm watching a little, I think it's a blue tit, let me have a look, yes, little blue tit chomping on some peanuts. Yeah, very small. That's how you can tell the difference. Obviously your great tit's much bigger, isn't it, you know what I mean, and tends to have a black line down its chest. The one that always throws me off is a coal tit. I can never tell those. Hannah's very good at it. Twyla's very keen on watching the squirrels, so I have relaxed on my dislike of the squirrels nicking our peanuts. They now get absolute free rein because my child enjoys it. Anyway, happy 2021. If you're listening for the first time, well, you've got 109 episodes to catch up on, even though there's literally nothing to catch up on. It's me, Carl Donnelly, comedian, podcaster, father, general man, just drinking normally coffee, having a natter about whatever comes out of my head. It's a stream of consciousness. What has been going on? 2021 started with a bang, shall we? Even though it's probably not actually a fitting word. It sounds a bit like it's actually referencing the violence. But, woohoo, mama. There was quite a bit of a hoo-ha, wasn't there? In Washington, D.C. It was fascinating, wasn't it? I don't know if anyone follow it. I totally got caught up in it. Oh, hello, sorry. Breaking news. A blue tit has been... the blue tit that was on the bird feeder has been forcibly moved by a great tit. It's much bigger. Basically flew on. Blue tit had no choice but to vacate. That is the luxury, I suppose, of being one of the larger tits. Oh, hello. Oh, my God. Ladies and gents and anyone else in between or either side. it's all happening, mate. The squirrel was just running. Great tits gone. Squirrels holding court. Oh, it's great. What a palaver. It was like that was like CNN on the 6th of January. I saw someone on Twitter say Trump's about to do a speech. I thought, oh, I'll turn on CNN, see if I can watch that. It'd be quite interesting because he hadn't conceded. And I thought, let's see how much of a nutter he's become and if he's genuinely going to just still double down on this whole election fraud nonsense. And he was doing a speech behind some weird, badly laid out sort of bulletproof glass. And he said, like, we're going to storm down to Capitol and all that. And it did sound like he was saying, let's all now go on a big march. And as well, I had it on in the background, literally, you know, it was like, these are the scenes outside the Capitol. It was riveting. Watched all day. I don't think it was a coup attempt. I know it's easy to exaggerate and say, you know, they tried to take over, but I think his words suggested that was a possibility. On a political sense, it could have sounded like that, but I actually think the people involved, I think it gives them way too much credit to suggest that they could have acted out a coup. Do you know what I mean? Normally coups are very much a military operation. Do you know what I mean? It is not normally undertaken by, let's be honest, a few thousand people that look like they have to stop halfway through to administer insulin to themselves. It was just a ragtag of conspiracy theorists and gamers, and you know, it's just there was a few dodgy looking geezers, you know, the ones that sort of wear tactical clothing. And I'd never trust a man who's not literally serving in the army who wears army gear. They're the kids who at school had a knife collection in it and had a bit too much to prove. So yeah, I think it was bonkers, and they should be very much, you know, held accountable and punished for what they did. But I genuinely think it gives them way too much credence to say they attempted a coup. Do you know what I mean? It's basically just a bunch of divs got out of hand. You know, I've seen. Obviously, there was some violence. It was, you know, a couple of people died. Here's a little thought. I've just remembered. Oh, hello, the door's gone. Who could that be? Let's pause it and I'll let you know. Oh, it's a cliffhanger. Well, well, well. Hey, everyone. It was a bloody delivery. It was a delivery of two red bayonet light bulbs. Because I've opened a brothel. I read a book. A sleep book about baby sleep, and it talks about lighting, evening lighting. We're quite good with. I hate bright lights, like Gizmo from Gremlins, but I don't especially in the evening. You know, I like natural light in the day, and then once the evening comes, I hate a bright sort of overhead light or anything. So I've always got loads of low level. I'd rather a few low level lights than bright lights, but apparently it's actually a natural thing. This book talks about how, you know, your circadian rhythms are built obviously around night and day, and obviously in the modern age, with the electrical light invention, we now actually sort of mess up our rhythms because we have too much artificial light in the evening. So if you are going to have a light, you want to try and keep it as natural a light on the light spectrum as possible. So keep it, you know, red, orangey, because they don't mess up your rhythms. So, yeah, basically, in the bedroom now, we've got two little red lights. One is the mood, sort of the sunrise alarm clock I bought. Another one's a little diffuser that's got a light on it. There's also a Himalayan salt lamp, which I've bought a red lamp for the inside of, because the white lamp in it at the minute is still quite bright, even though it is sort of got that orange hue. What am I talking about? But anyway, it's really interesting. That book I've read was good because it basically, I think, it very. Do you know when you read a book that sort of tells you what you already suspect, but you're not an expert, so you sort of just think, well, I've got a hunch, but I'm probably wrong. But it just talks about like this obsession we have with children's sleep. You know, babies. We always want babies to sleep through the night. We want to rush children to get on our schedules, and actually, it's silly, isn't it? Because they're little people who haven't developed yet the possibility of doing it. And it's, you know, what we should do is lower our expectations. We're the problem, not the kids. You know what I mean? Which I've always sort of had that in mind, but. You know, I wanted somebody to tell me that I'm right. So, like, and also, you know, that thing of how many adults, you know, that sleep badly, they've got sleep problems, take tablets, need a beer, need a bloody spliff before bed. That is so widespread that to assume that kids can suddenly sleep good is madness. If you can't do it, don't expect a child to be able to sleep through the night properly. So there, it's a good book. But I'm reading this book at the minute. It's sitting in front of me. It's called Simplicity Parenting. It's fucking good. It's almost like it's a hippie parenting book that is right up my street, written by a doctor called Kim John Payne, which his name makes him sound like a really bad Korean dictator, but it's a very nice person. I think it's a him. Yeah, of course it is. But I love it absolutely. Again, it's about that sort of modern age thing of we wonder why so many kids suffer from attention deficit disorder and things like that, but we've created a world that is so full of distractions and you're expected to multitask constantly. So how could you be expected to have focus in a world where that's not something you're taught anymore? You know, from day one, you've just given so many options, so many toys, so many books, so many, you know, we throw so much stuff at kids and then get annoyed when they're scatty and they don't do what they're told. It's like, well, you know, we've done that to them. It's not them. And it's just about simplifying your surroundings. I love it. You know, it totally is, you know, fits in with my agenda, I suppose, of since we had a baby. I'm like, you know, I love just in the morning I put like relaxing music on, sit here with Twyla, try and let Hannah sleep for a bit, and we just sit on the mat or on the sofa, just, you know, give her a little thing to chew and play with, and just nothing else, just have that for a while until she then gets bored, and then you move on to another thing, but one thing, you know. I'm trying to keep it as simple as possible. Not try and just throw too much stuff at her to distract her. Actually, just be present with her during it. Bloody hell. I feel like, you know, I feel like this year I might go even more up my own arse. I am planning on, like, today I've hardly looked at my phone, not had the telly on at all, just had like music on, just been reading. Like I'm trying to detach. That's if I've got a New Year's resolution, which I tend not to do them, but it is to just unplug, man. Not 100%, you can't do it 100%, I get that. But I think sitting around at the minute, especially with lockdowns, sitting around, I've had days where I reckon I've looked at my phone, if you added it up, for 8 hours in a day. No, because you just, there's nothing to do, sit on a sofa all day, you know. And sort of me and Hannah will be taking it in turns with Twyla, and the moment I'm just there, just sitting there a bit tired, I'm just looking at my phone, and I've realised it's utterly tedious. Like, I'm getting annoyed with myself. So now that's it. I'm done. I've made my decision. This next couple of weeks, I'm going to try and really just detox from it. Just leave it in another room. Check on it once an hour to see if I've got any messages. And that's it. Not bring it in the bedroom at night. I think there we go. That's my New Year's resolution. I feel like it was a real second half to that podcast. I think the first half, when the doorbell went, I was talking about Trump and that. And then the second half was, don't look at your phone. Everyone, just be present. Okay, Carl. Good tips. Hope you're all right. And coping. That's all we can hope for, really, can't we? Hey, keep it simple. That's my message of the day. Take care, everyone. Bye.